Welcome to the Just Believe Show. I'm your host, Herbie Mack. The show is dedicated to raising mental health awareness and preventing suicide. If you ever need any help or resources, check the show notes. And remember, I got you. If you enjoyed the conversation, please leave a review. We're stronger together and can overcome any obstacle that life presents. With that being said, enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Just Believe Show. I'm Herbie Mack. Today's episode, I'm sitting down with Charles Logan. He's going to break down what is life activation. And honestly, in my terms, these are my terms, it's an ancient practice that help you unlock, not even help, it's an ancient practice that align. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, you know, this is my terms, not Charles' terms. What is life activation? And this is my terms, not Charles. So I'm just going to break it down because he breaks it down in an amazing way. And it's just understanding how this ancient practice can align you with your true self and unlock your hidden potential. And it's one of the things that Charles shared in this episode, his journey on not only trying it out, but actually becoming certified and giving it the practice. I love this conversation. I'm so intrigued. I like to do alternative healing for those who don't know that, because I believe everyone is different and everything works out for everyone else. You may sit there and enjoy painting while somebody else enjoy playing the piano. Everyone heals differently, or everyone likes to do things that help them maintain their mental health, their balance, and help them grow. This episode, I enjoyed so much. And not only that, Charles, I got to give a shout out to Jonathan P. I don't want to mess up your last name, Jonathan. Don't worry, I'm going to give you credit because he's the one who really sat down and got me and Charles together. And the conversation was fascinating. And I was like, hey, I need more. I have people that get in my DMs and want to learn about life activation, or not want to learn about life activation, but I have people that send my DMs that look for alternative healing and want to try something different. And I think this is a perfect match. With that being said, I actually have a special code for you guys. And it's going to give you 25% off for your life activation session. And that's only if you're in Sarasota and Palm Harbor. Look, we keep banging this out and this gets amazing. You never know, that the path may grow. And it's not only just the coupon, the 25% off is only for those two areas, Sarasota and Palm Harbor. But if you're into it, and I know some of my listeners, they're not in Florida. Some of them are not even in the U.S., which I'm saying thank you for that. They're all over if you're into it. They're all over the world. It's not like just an exclusive spot. There's multiple teachers and guides, as I like to call them, that is all over the world. And Charles also breaks it down. I don't want to spill too much of the tea in the episode. And if you need more information, check out the show notes. You already know I got a whole bunch of information there for you, including my Substack and so much more. If you want to get some newsletters, I'm about to crank out. Actually, I have one coming out while this episode is out. So with that being said, enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Just Believe Show. I'm your host, Herbie Mack. And today, I'm honored to sit down with a special guest that actually came to me and told me some interesting things about this thing called life activation. For myself, for most of you guys know, I like to do alternative things to make me heal or just to try it out. You just never know. Everybody's different. And with that being said, I want to introduce Charles Logan. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on. And honestly, thanks for just the conversations we've been having off stream and whatnot. And with this, I'm glad that you're on, but I wanted you to actually talk about the life activation. Not right away, but let's introduce yourself first. Give us a story of what got you into this and how you got here.
Sure. Yeah. Because that's usually people that care more about anyway, right? Because we can talk about the ins and outs of the metaphysics of how certain healing modalities work and the engineering of it all. But ultimately, what's a lot more important, I think, for most people is how it's going to help, what it can actually do. And that's where my passion for sharing it and for being able to serve people with it comes from is because of the way that it all changed and more than a little bit saved my life personally. And that's why I chose to do it, was because of what it did for me, which is, when it comes to helping most people in this way, that's usually what does it for us, is we find something that helps the things that we need help with, that fixes the things we need to heal and repair. And then we look around at the world and see the other people that are struggling with those same things and say, oh, hey, there's a thing, and it can help. But yeah, and that's where it all started for me. Sometimes people ask, when they're talking about the spirituality and the metaphysics and the teachings and the healings and everything that it is that I do now, one of the common questions is, hey, how did you get into all this? And a lot of people out there that I know and work with have cool stories about being psychic as children and really interesting and elaborate stuff going on their whole lives. And that's wonderful, beautiful, great, good for them. I didn't really have any of that. I just got to a point where my life was a wreck. And I was very much aware that if I didn't do something to fix it, I wasn't going to be around much longer. I've always said I'm very fortunate to have the relationship with my family that I do, because that kept me from taking any active conscious steps towards ending my own life. But it also doesn't mean I wasn't killing myself any less with the self-sabotage and the choices and the substance abuse and all the different other things that I was doing, cope to get by, to just manage to get through and survive.
So I have a question. So
yeah.
At what point did you realize your life was a wreck? Was it like late 20s, early 20s? Like around what period you was like, oh my goodness, I thought I had my life going well until I realized I'm probably close to rock bottom than I think I am.
Late 20s, right before I turned 30 was the first time that my life fell apart. But at that point, the version of it that it was fell apart, and I left New York City and came back home to Florida. And that was my first kind of everything came tumbling down, but I was still doing on the surface. I was still doing moderately all right. I was still keeping up a good front. It wasn't till a few years later than that, like about how old was I? It was in like 2014, 2015, early to mid 30s. Was when things really started to tumble. And I found myself on the verge of being homeless and out of work. And I was always fairly resourceful. And I'm a performer by trade. I was always an actor. And I always had little side gigs and little side hustles that I could do to get by. I always managed to keep myself going one way or another, although sometimes barely. And I always had at least a good support system in my life, so that there was always somebody's guest room to crash in or somebody that I could house sit for. Also in the theater world, a lot of times if you're traveling around for shows, they'll put you up and house you for. So there was a good stretch of time where I was technically homeless, although I always had a roof over my head. But in this instance, it was a time when I didn't have any of that. And the living situation I was in was going badly. And it also involved a relationship that was ending in an unpleasant way. And so I found myself out of work and soon to be out of a place to live. And that's when I looked around. I was like, this isn't going so great.
Like, how did I get here?
And although my analytical mind, I was very aware of every step that had gotten me there. But I had always managed to... because I've been a gypsy most of my life in the performing world, right? Traveling around, going from job to job, going from place to place. And it never bothered me. It was joyful. It was a little transient, which I think would have stressed a lot of people out. But for me, it was a really fun and vibrant way to live. It wasn't a bad thing. And I always managed to land on my feet and keep myself afloat, and everything always managed to work out in the end. And I found myself in a place where a string of having it not work out in the end kept happening. And I was no longer quite able to manifest, to use the buzzword that everybody wants to hear these days, in the way that I had been before, to be able to pull it together at the last minute. That ability was like slipping away from me. And that's when I looked around. I was like, this is not good. I think I need to look at something here. There had been things tugging at the back of my mind up until that point. I was aware of certain things, like a lack of joy in my life. I was aware of this feeling of helplessness in the world, where I would look around and see all the people that were struggling and all the bad things that were going on and just feel like there was no hope to make it any better. And once I got to that point where it all came to a head, all of those little nagging voices all of a sudden became big screaming voices that were like, yeah, see, there, this is awful. Maybe you should give it up.
And I'm glad that you said you had a support system, but also you were self-aware of knowing, okay, I have an issue and I'm not happy. This is a me problem. What can I do? Yeah. What can I do? What can I do to not only get out of this toxic environment and, but also to reframe my mind and say, let's go find happiness. And what does that mean for me?
It was very much, I was aware of the fact that the issue was mine and I just wasn't going to go burden it on somebody else. And maybe that was my own pride, or maybe that wasn't the wisest choice, but that at least kept me looking for the answers internally, because I knew I was at least self-aware enough to know where the problem was. And I knew it wasn't everybody else. It was me. Not that I was wrong or broken in the way that little voice in my head tried to convince me that I was, but I was still responsible for the choices that I had made and for everything that had led up to where I was. Like, nobody had done that to me, though there were certainly outside influences and forces in the world that I just was not dealing with very well. But I still wouldn't blame the other people or blame the outside influences or blame the forces. Like, it was still my doing. And that's, I think, one of the things I would say that I'm fortunate for, the double-edged sword of internal worthiness issues is that if there was something wrong, I automatically assumed it was my fault, which has a negative side to it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you start beating yourself up and the critics start speaking loudly. It's your problem. It's you. You are the problem. And you think 100%. That voice is saying actual factual things, and it's not. Can you talk about the first step that helped you reclaim your power?
The first things that got me at least on a track to where I was doing a little bit less of a nosedive of destruction. That's a dramatic way to put that. Never quite said those words before, but I really just started with little things like a little bit of meditation. I started buying every crystal I could get my hands on. I got attuned to Reiki because I had read somewhere that connects you better with your spirit guides, and I was desperate for guidance. And so I was just searching and seeking and dabbling. And if I was a person who had been dying of thirst, it was like I had finally found water. But the water that I found was not always like the purest, cleanest water. And it was also maybe sometimes like I would find good clean water, but it was coming through a little tiny straw and not like the buckets of it that I needed because I was so thirsty. And so that got me searching and seeking, and it helped. Definitely made a difference. It definitely got me pulling myself together for sure, but I was still struggling in a lot of different ways, and a lot of the deep underlying stuff I still hadn't found a way to really heal, let go of, work through, release, whatever. But that's when I found myself randomly in the city of Naples, Florida, working for a theater down there that is run by two initiates, the Mystery School. And their guide, and now my guide and teacher Barbara, was at the show one night. And so the director of the show was talking at the curtain speech and talked about this Barbara lady who had done all this healing work on the lead in the show the year before because he'd lost his voice and hurt his ankle, and saved the show because she came in and made it so he could sing and dance. To which I said, like, oh, what? My gosh, I didn't. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't know you guys were into that kind of stuff. I'm into that kind of stuff. Who's this Barbara lady? Tell me more. I want to hear. And so eventually I did. I managed to meet Barbara. I sat down with her and talked, and she's the one who introduced to me this concept of a life activation and the entire Mystery School lineage, and this thing that I thought was gone from the world that I found out is still here. And not only is it still here, but it's actually accessible for anyone in the world who would like to study and train now. Anybody who's seeking that can find it. So I got a life activation. A few months later, did some further studying and training and actually got initiated into the school and the lineage. And that's what really took my nosedive of destruction and turned it into an uphill slope of, I don't know, goodness, of creation, of transformation to oppose the destruction.
Once you started doing the life activation, was it just like a one-time thing? Did you do multiple times to actually help you heal faster?
So the life activation is a one-time thing. It's about a two-hour session. So once it's done, there is benefits, or there can be benefits, to receiving it repeatedly. The way I think of it is, if in the first time you receive the life activation, we're filling you up with light and we're filling up an 8-ounce cup of light. But then if you go back and receive it again, then it expands that capacity. So now we're maybe filling up a 16-ounce cup full of that light, and then a 24-ounce, a 32-ounce. And it just expands what we're able to receive from it. There's also a lot in the healing session itself before the actual activation that does a lot for balancing and aligning and clearing out all your different energetic structures. There's a lot to the session. So initially I received it the one time, but since then I've received it multiple times. But the first steps on my path, I just did it the once because that was all that I needed at that point. And then I really went back to my life and just started living it. And I don't know if I could have told you anything was super different. It wasn't until about 6 months later that I looked back at the previous 6 months since the activation and had the moment of, oh, wow, like the things that I had accomplished in that 6 month stretch of time, maybe a little more than 6 months. It was from about like April until around like December when I did the look back. I had been all of a sudden traveling out of the country and getting trained in modalities to help others in more powerful ways. And like, there were all of these things that I had accomplished in that stretch of time that if you had asked me before the life activation, I would have said it would have taken me years to accomplish that if I could have accomplished them at all. Several of those things were rather extensive trips that I had to take in order to do what I wanted to do, to receive the training that I wanted. And before the life activation, if you had asked me if I would have been able to have the money to go do that kind of thing, I would have smiled politely and said, yeah, that'd be nice, but don't hold your breath. And all of a sudden I found myself capable of it and flying out of the country and all over the world now to receive these techniques and modalities that I can now use to serve other people with.
That's amazing.
I think so. It's pretty exciting and very cool. But I always like to highlight that because some people walk out of a life activation and their lives are instantly changed and everything's new and different and they know it and they're aware of it and it's a very obvious thing for them. But some people, many people don't. Many people walk out and things are going to feel normal at first. But then through a series of subtle but profound changes, next thing you know, you're going to look back and realize that you're an entirely new person and that your life has completely changed. And everything in between. One of my teachers said it in a way that I think is pretty brilliant. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of, if I've done 2,000 life activations in my life, then I've seen 2,050 different reactions to it. Like that's how unique and individual it is for everyone.
So that's good. That I find it, I don't want to say weird, but I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason, right? Here you are, you're at the theater, getting ready to hit the stage.
Oh yeah.
You hear a couple of your friends, you know, your peers talking and was like, oh, hey, you know, this woman Barbara's going to be here. And you're probably like, hey, who is that? And then they tell you this and you're just like, I didn't tell anyone out loud that I'm doing all the stuff. I'm trying these new things out.
They had no idea.
But now I'm actually into this lifestyle and I want to know more, but then to actually have this done. And for you to say, I don't want to say like a poor man mindset, but for you to have...
No, it was.
Oh, okay. No, I don't want to...
100%.
Yeah. But then you had a poor man mindset.
Oh, yeah.
And then, let's just say 8 months later, you did it. You evaluate your life after that moment and come to find out you're checking way more boxes than you even notice once you sit down to reflect of, hey, what did I achieve this year? And now that not only did you achieve something that's incredible of a personal thing that helped you grow, you're in a position to help others, which is
phenomenal. That was the that was the biggest thing. I don't always tend to talk about myself a lot or pat myself on the back, but I have to remember that it's okay to do that when it's relevant. And one of the things that I am so grateful for, that I really appreciated in that process, is that I received the life activation for me because I thought it was something that was going to help me. And then all of a sudden, 7-8 months later, whatever it was, I not only had done this thing for me, but now all of a sudden I was flying around the world to find things that I could do to help others. And that's one of the things that caused me to look back and say, oh, this is different. This is a shift. Like, this is something new. I've always had a mind towards helping others. Ever since I was a kid, I would go out of my way to do things for people. I was always a very helpful child, and that lasted through a good amount of my life. But as I got into the years where I was struggling more and more to get by, that it's not that I didn't care about helping others anymore, but I no longer quite had the capacity or bandwidth to, I didn't have anything left over to spare because it was all I could do just for myself to get by. And so I had gotten into this mindset of viewing myself maybe as a little bit more on the selfish side. And I had lost touch with this whole side of me that cared so much about doing good things for other people. And that was one of the things that really shifted in the life activation, because there was one more step that I could do next that would have been another step for myself. But I didn't even just do that step. Like, when I signed up for that step, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do that step, but it's really so that I can get to this other step where I can help other people. So right from the point of the life activation, that was when I like that. And I didn't necessarily have this realization until just now, but that's when it shifted me right back to where I started my life, like my true essence of myself and the core nature of my being, which is to help other people. Cause it was my favorite thing to do, I think I can safely say.
Yeah,
that's why I do what I do.
It sounded like you went from feeling like you had no purpose to not only, I don't want to say finding your purpose, but creating your purpose.
Combination of that, yeah, you know.
Yeah, based off of what you're saying, like you done this like activation thing. And not only did you feel your energy shifts, Holy Spirits was like, hey, you should go down this path. I think this is the right path for you. But you acknowledging that and doing that and say, hey, I actually want to learn more to assist others, because you finally put on your own oxygen mask and now you're able to be in that position to assist others. But in a way of where it's not like it's selfish, it's just, oh man, now I have this new fire lit under my ass of knowing that you have the ability to assist others. Hey, therapy may be for you, but try this with therapy and see what happens. I just want to be able to show you there's other ways of healing, because people think there's just one way and it's not. Yeah. But you taking that on and you going to different places, right? Wherever you're trying to learn, but you're getting a different perspective of how someone else view life. And you're taking that on and be like, oh man, I didn't view life in this way. Now I am. Now the next spot that I go to, I see it in a different light. And now obviously you probably put it all together and you're unique style like gumbo, and now you're able to deliver it to people in a way where it's like, hey, I hear you. Not only do I hear you, I see you. Try this out. And you probably have, you know, questions that you use to help get a better feel of what they need and guidance, let's just say it like that. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to heal themselves.
Yeah, very much. It's definitely asking the right questions is relevant, but it's also just about listening, because any person that is sitting with me, with you, with anybody who's in a position to help them is going to express the things that they need. They're going to tell you what they need help with. They're going to tell you the things that they're struggling with. They're going to tell you where they're having issues. They don't necessarily know that's what they're telling you. They're just going to be talking about their life and what's going on. But knowing the possibilities and knowing what these modalities are capable of, it's like they're little flares that go up in the conversation, that as somebody's just talking about what's going on in their life, there's that little ping that says, ah, that's where the life activation can help. Oh, that's where a full spirit would come in handy. Oh, that's where a soul retrieval can really help with that issue. And then if someone's really ready and all of those things are going up and then they're talking about what they're really seeking, oh, you're ready for initiation. Like you're ready to take things up to that next level for yourself and the world. But it's just a matter of listening and hearing it, because someone doesn't know necessarily what a life activation is, but they know what's going on in their lives and they know what they would like to be better. And if and when those things are in alignment with the life activation and how it can help, then that's when that can be, like, that's when that opportunity presents itself.
Appreciate that.
Oh, I think it was good too.
Watch, I'm gonna come back the last moment where I'm like, all right, guys, wait.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing, and I'm highly intrigued by it more and more, because very similar to you, I was at a point late 20s. I was at a point in my late 20s. Obviously, I was rock bottom, and I thought suicide was the answer and whatnot. And after I big racked myself, I got out and I was like, man, I'm too broke to afford therapy, right? Like, it's just one of those things of $150 a lesson, a session, I couldn't keep up with. So I was just like, oh, let me look for other ways. Then, very similar to you, I started meditating. And once I started meditating, started going down this rabbit hole that we call YouTube. And I go down the rabbit hole and I start learning about healing crystals. I have mine is like charging up right now. And I start collecting a bunch of them because I was like, man, I'm carrying some sort of like energy that I don't like. I'm carrying this energy that I didn't like. And if depression was a cologne, you'd be able to smell it on. Like, trust me. And so I get into not only just the healing, get into Reiki. And then I start realize, man, my energy started shifting. Especially once I started Reiki, and meditating is different for everyone. You don't have to necessarily do like the crisscross applesauce. I always tell people that. But I'm started meditating, but it's not something of like you looking for something. In my view, I was slowing the world down. I was slowing the world down because it was moving way too fast for me. And I was able to block out a lot of the noise that I didn't need, the distractions. And I was like, man, I love this. I love this healing crystals. I love doing that. And I'd never forget, I had a buddy that came to me and he's Jamaican and he's, hey, whatever you're carrying, you're not acting like yourself. Take your crystals with you and go into the beach, go into the ocean and just splash the water over your shoulders to get that off. What he said, what do you call it? A guppy. He's like, a guppy. Yeah, he calls it a guppy. It's some like Jamaican term. And like it's a bad vibe or bad ghost. And I just started like splashing the water and kept meditating. And I was just like, oh, man, this is now in my like routine box of things that I have to do at least a minimum once a week, because I noticed a shift. And this sounds like something that can actually help me even more get like locked in and be more focused into being one. Because that's what it's all about, is just really trusting your gut, trusting your spirit, your guides, however you want to put it out there, to help you be the best version of yourself.
That's ultimately what we're getting to with all of it. Everything we do on the Mystery School Path is centered around helping a person know themselves, right? Know thyself is what was written over the temple gates, the schools and the temples where people would study and train for all this. Not in English, obviously, but although if you've ever noticed in the Matrix movies, when he goes to see the Oracle, it's actually what's over her doorway is Temet Noske, which is know thyself. And she actually points it out and talks about it.
One of my favorite movies, by the way.
It's amazing stuff. And there's but there's actually a lot of, in the first one, at least, they really managed to, intentionally or not, I don't know, incorporate a lot of kind of high metaphysical concepts that are in there. And there's a lot of stuff that really is in alignment with a lot of really true things. It's sensationalized a little bit and artistic license is taken and all this stuff. But there's actually quite a bit in there. But knowing thyself is really everything that we're trying to do on our path of growth and progression and healing. So in my instance, because when we come in, we tend to be in pretty in alignment with who we are. But then we have to then navigate the world. And that's when we start to develop our coping mechanisms, our strategies, our masks, our walls that we put up to protect ourselves, the ways of behaving so that we can get along with people and we don't get hurt by them, the beliefs and thought patterns and ways of speaking and behaving that we take on from our family and everybody that we're receiving all this programming from. Now, not all of that is always 100% bad. Some of that can come in and enhance who we are, but a lot of it tends to, instead of enhancing who we are, tends to hide who we actually are and end up being this barrier or this veil of distortion between us and the world. So as we're going, working forward on the path and we're healing and letting go and releasing trauma and all these things, what we're really doing is uncovering all of the layers of the not me so that I can get down to the me. Which like that's for the life activation. That's one of the big shifts that happened that, thank you, I just had this realization today, was that shift of getting me back to being a person who is devoted to helping others. But that's what it's all about, is my identity is not depression. My identity is not anxiety. My identity is not the substance and my relationship to it. That's all outside stuff that gets piled on at some point. And so as we really step into knowing thyself, and I know what my identity is, then all of those things just start to fall away because they're not who I am. So why would I carry it? And one of the huge pieces of who I am is, what is my purpose? And the life activation, one of the main things that we actually say about the life activation that it does is connect you to your soul's higher purpose. And we can get into a little bit the deep metaphysics of how function creates form. But ultimately, it means that if I know my purpose, I'm exponentially more likely to be able to find and know who I am and then be that, I'll say, version of myself, but it's really not a version. That's just the self, right? We get to let go of the versions and just be full divine and royal and generally awesome me.
No, I love it. I love it. I think it's scary learning yourself. You think, I'm a person who's depressed, or I'm a person that's living with whatever substance. You think that's who you are until you peel back those layers and you find out, no, I'm a person that had depression, or I'm a person that has whatever we want to label. It doesn't really define who you are. So I love the fact of going inside and really discovering who you truly are.
And that voice in the head is going to discourage you from looking at any of it. Because if it's anything like mine, that voice is going to say, no, don't look there. Because if you really look at it all, you're going to find out how bad and wrong and broken and truly effed, for lack of better words, it really is in there. And in my case, I knew that, and just not, I didn't know it because it was true. I knew because the voice had convinced me, but I knew that if I really dug it all up, it was going to be too much and I would never come back from it. And that would be the thing that would finally break me and end me and I'd be done. When the truth is that, when we actually shine the light on all of those things, nothing but good happens because we're able to then identify and release and heal. It's a little bit of a cliche analogy, but the monster under the bed, as long as you don't look at it, is terrifying, right? Because when you're not looking at it, the imagination is able to run wild and create this huge, monstrous, scary, terrifying thing that can destroy you. But if you actually just pick up the bed skirt and look, then you realize that it's just the stuffed animal that fell under there earlier. Yes. And it's just no big deal. But the negative ego, right? That little voice is what's going to latch on and be like, no, man, it's a monster. It is big. It is scary. And if you look at it, it's going to shred you. Like it just goes to town. Because in most situations, that voice has decades of experience of pulling our strings and getting us to do exactly what it wants us to do. And that's because it's the thing that keeps us in that state of fear and keeps us in ignorance of who we are, because it keeps us from looking at all things that are going on in us that are causing us to be who we are in that moment, which again, once we shine the light on it, once we look at it, once we say, all right, this is what's causing this behavior, right? I have this background script that's causing me to behave this way. I have this unhealed trauma that's causing me to turn to this substance. I have this issue that's causing me to feel like I need a coping mechanism, so I'm picking up that thing. But once we shine the light on that, then it's just like unraveling a knot. And you just keep finding the little threads. You'll be like, oh, that's what that is. And then we're really getting to the point where we're not just treating symptoms, we're treating the root causes of issues. Which in physical stuff, like especially in like the medical world, we're starting to have a lot more awareness around treating causes rather than just symptoms. And so now we get to start bringing that into the mental and the emotional and the energetic as well. Because especially in mental health, it's similar to where things are in the Western medicine world, is that we're just treating symptoms. The anxiety is not the issue in a lot of cases. It's the symptom of something else. The depression is a symptom of something else. And this might go against some views that a lot of people have, but in my personal experience for myself and many of the people that I work with, addiction tends to be the symptom of what's wrong rather than the thing that's wrong itself. And then if we go in and heal the actual problem, then the symptom of the addiction just becomes a non-issue. That was definitely my experience. And it's the, you know, way I've been able to help others with it as well.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of that real fast. I want to add to the value that you just said. Yeah, from my experience, I was a functional alcoholic for a decade, over a decade. And it wasn't until I got to the root of the problem and I realized, okay, this is the cause of me going out to drink and making dumb decisions. That's the nicest way I could say it. But doing that work and going right to the root made it a lot easier. It was still challenging. You have buddies that say, hey, let's go to the bar, let's go to this party or whatever. But it made it a lot easier for me to not just drink every day. It made it a little easier. Okay, maybe once a week. And then I slowly just went cold turkey and finally been able to stay sober. So I agree to a certain extent, because I know there are some people who have a chemical imbalance that unfortunately that's just how they walk.
Everybody's unique and every situation is unique. So in no way am I saying that's the case all the time.
Yeah, I just want to clear that up because I don't want anybody to go after you or me.
I know.
Like you said, all of this, like, no, there are people who have chemical imbalance who are just wired that way.
Absolutely. And
yeah, we just want, or I definitely want, I'm pretty sure you do want them to heal as well.
Absolutely. One of the big pieces in that process for me, though, was getting back to purpose. Now I have a purpose in my life that is more important than going out drinking, for lack of, to put it really simply. And it's not that like I sit around longing for that and the purpose is the only thing that keeps me from doing it. It just doesn't even enter on my radar, because anything that's going to interfere with me doing what I'm here to do just doesn't really enter into the picture anywhere. And drinking just happens to be one of those things that doesn't fit into the picture of me fulfilling my purpose. And the purpose is something that I'm so passionate about that it's a little bit of it's just a non-issue. But that also goes for certain dietary choices and activities that I might otherwise involve myself in. There are things that just aren't conducive to, in the same way that if I were a professional athlete, there are things that I wouldn't eat. There are things I'm not going to do. And there are things that there are social situations I might not put myself in because they're not conducive to what I actually care about. And I think one of the things that I see a lot of people do in recovery is center their whole lives around not doing this thing that they really wish they were doing. And that's not my experience with what I'm doing at all. It's just that's one thing on the list of things that don't help me do what I want to be doing. So it just doesn't enter into the picture.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it's the best way I can say it.
No, you nailed it. It was perfect. Definitely perfect. I don't even have a follow-up for that.
No.
That was like on point, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, powers that be.
It came back.
Guiding well. Yeah, there we go.
So with that being said, let's get ready to wrap it up. As far as how people can find you and or how can people find the life activation? How can they find it? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how we can make this happen.
One of the beautiful things that I love about the Mystery School and the lineage that I train in is that we're international all over the world at this point. So there's, I believe we're over 60 countries that we're in now, and almost, I don't think we're in every state in the US, but we're in a lot of somebody, wherever you are, if you're someone listening, that's then you feel like the life activation is going to be a helpful step for you, which full disclosure, I joke and say, in the many different healing modalities that I am certified to do, the majority of them are, I would listen to what someone needs help with and then prescribe the healing that's going to help them the best, depending on the symptoms that they're presenting, to use medical terms. So I am not a doctor. The symptoms that a person would need to present in order for me to prescribe the life activation is that they're standing and breathing. So that's the one that's universal. That's everybody's going to benefit from it. I recommend it to anybody. There are many modalities in our lineage that are more specific that I'm only going to recommend if there's certain things going on. But the life activation, just do it. It's awesome. But anyway, if it's with me, you can always find us at loganlightcenter.com. If you're in Florida on the West Coast, I'm in Sarasota. We have practitioners that are in the Palm Harbor and Clearwater area and everywhere in between in that part. But we're also all over the state, and there are other practitioners that do life activations all over the world. So for that, the Modern Mystery School's main website, which is modernmysteryschoolint.com, there is a certified practitioner list where you just go on, I believe it's at the bottom of the page, and you click find a practitioner, find a life activation practitioner, because you can also find guides and healers and teachers and all of that. But you just click find a life activation practitioner, and then a list comes up that shows you the entire collection of life activation practitioners all over the world, separated by country and then state and so forth.
Oh, good. They make it easy then.
So easy. If you were looking for a life activation practitioner in Seattle, Washington, which we have several, you go and you click on it, you go to United States, you go to Washington, you find Seattle, and there they are. So it's pretty unique. And there's a good amount of social media presence. The Mystery School has their own social media sites. Many of our high-level initiates have Facebooks and Instagrams and things. So there's a lot of ways to test the waters and hear us talk and get to know us a little more. I've yet to meet anybody that trains in our school that I don't feel to be pretty awesome and somebody that I would be more than honored to work alongside. And in many cases, I do work alongside.
Thank you.
So yeah, our website or the Mystery School website are going to get you where you need to go. And yeah. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. No, that was great, man. That was perfect. Thank you for that. Before we go, do you have any questions for me or anything?
When are you going to schedule your life activation?
Ooh, put me on the spot. Let me see.
You don't have to answer that. It bugged. That's between you and Jonathan because you're up near him. So I'll let you guys work that out.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be soon. I need my schedule to clear up. I'm not even going to lie. That my schedule is a blessing. Has been jam-packed busy for the last 2 months. Yeah, it's been good, thankfully. Okay. But once it clear up, I definitely plan it because this is the type of realm that I'm in and this is the thing that I'm into. So I definitely will. And when I do, I'm gonna record it so people can see my reaction afterwards. Probably won't record the whole session, but at least my reaction. I'll probably become a new man, I'm hoping.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to see it. Question for you. There is one quality that we work a lot in the Mystery School tradition, talking about Shambhala, which in world peace, the new age, the new paradigm, the age of Aquarius, however you want it. Like everybody has a different name for it. It's what we call it, Shambhala. But if there was one aspect or quality of Shambhala, of the new age, of this new version of our world that we're trying to create, that you would most want to see in that, what would be like your most exciting quality or aspect of that Shambhala energy?
Man, what a question. Man, I wasn't prepared for that.
Man.
That I would love to see, like, more in the world?
Yeah.
It's going to sound ridiculous, but just happiness.
Not to me.
I feel like things changed dramatically in the last few years with social media. Everyone, they're looking for happiness on the outside and not realizing that it starts on the inside. you may not be able to afford a Mercedes Benz. Okay, that's fine. Do you still have a roof over your head? Do you still just start like appreciating things that you have? And what you said earlier really resonate of controlling what you can control. And I feel like happiness is something that we all can control.
Awesome.
Yeah, hopefully that answered your question.
It does. No, it's some in our cheese. Sometimes we differentiate between happiness and joy, which is a little bit semantics, but.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. There is a massive difference between happiness and joy.
Because joy is not an emotion. It's actually an energy. Like it's a force that exists in the world. And we can choose to be in the energy of joy all day, every day, if we choose to be. Like it's always there and it's always accessible. Whereas happiness does tend to be a little bit more either artificial or service or from outside things. But especially relevant though, when we're talking about things like anxiety, depression, and struggling in the world, because that sense of joy can feel very far removed from us. But joy is one of our most powerful tools that we have available to us to fight the darkness within ourselves and within the world. And so if everybody's in joy, then a lot of the world's problems just... So I think that's an awesome one to have as a goal, is happiness and joy for everyone.
Yeah. I'm glad you put it that way, because I felt before we go, I felt like I went through the stage of, oh, I'm happy. And now after the stage of happiness, I hit the level of joyfulness and being able to like, I don't know, like sometimes I walk in a room and people are like, man, you're just the energy in the room shift. Just once you started walking in, I'm joyful. Like I have energy. I'm thankful to be alive and thankful to be able to not only teach when I do my keynotes or if I'm leading a support group, like it gives me joy because I want people to see what does joyfulness look like. Because if I can do it, you can do it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Keep sharing that joy, man. We need it.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. With that being said, that was today's episode of the Just Believe Show. Thank you again, Charles. I appreciate it. Until then, we'll see you next time. Peace. Thank you for listening to the Just Believe Show. Together, we can raise mental health awareness and prevent suicide one step at a time. If you're currently struggling, you're not alone. I provided some resources in the show notes, so check them out. To learn more about my mission, or if you want to inquire me, a job becoming an event, please visit herbiemack.com. Stay connected with me on social media. It's in the show notes. You get a glimpse behind the scene content, some uplifting content as well, and ways to support your well-being. Always stay true to yourself. Embrace the power of hope. Remember, you can make a positive impact. That being said, take care. Stay strong. Peace.